Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. I greet you all very warmly to this service on this Sunday morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also all of you who are joining us online, I greet you very warmly. We are glad that also today we can be gathered internationally, that you have all come here as visitors to have fellowship with us in the Word of God, fellowship in the Lord, that the Lord is in our midst to confirm his word on us who we believe it. We have visitors from various countries, of course from Germany, but also from Slovakia, Czech Republic, Romania, from Belgium, from France, from Holland, also our brother André from Bielorussia, our brother Vladimir from Russia, our brother Justin from South Africa, also a brother Justin from the Congo, brother Hussa from Austria, brother Baumgartner from Switzerland, also many brothers from Switzerland and Austria. Feel comfortable in our midst. We trust that the Lord will bless us richly. Also yesterday, he blessed us richly. We are grateful for it, that we could partake of the Lord's Supper and on the foot washing, that by this, by taking the Lord's Supper, we proclaimed the death of the Lord until he comes, and that we can remember it, that he has given his body for us, that he shed his blood for us, that we here as the redeemed, as the delivered ones, as the children of God, can have fellowship with one another, and being sure that we are protected from the wrath of the judgment of wrath which will come, as written, as the Lord has come to once give his body as a sacrifice, so he comes for the second time without sin to take those who wait for him into glory. And these are we who are waiting for him, and we let ourselves be prepared for his coming. Also the precious scriptures which we heard yesterday, that we let ourselves be prepared. And also today we want to do that. I ask now our brother Harry to come to sing with us the songs. Then Brother Borg will say a few words for introduction. Before that, I would like to extend greetings from our brother Israel, from Nigeria, our brother Shadrach Kabila from Malawi. The brethren are sending greetings. We stand up and want to lay the service before the Lord. Faithful God, our Heavenly Father, together we thank you for this time in which you have given us grace. You have let us know your ways. We believed the preaching. We have been called out. And we trust that we are now in your presence. We seek you, Lord, for you have the fullness for us. You prepared the fullness in your word, and we ask you, may your word accomplish in us for what it was sent to do, here where we are gathered, also all world, or joining us worldwide online, that you may prepare us, make us ready, that you perfect your church so that you can work in a supernatural way and that your name might be glorified. We lay this service into your hands and we ask you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing from these little booklets, song number 17, hymn number 17 from these little booklets. Near the cross, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Let us sing as a second song, song number 18. I need the ARR. 18. Amen. This we may all bear witness of. We need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Even this morning, we are here, and we need that the Lord is in our midst to bless us together through His Word speaking to us, fulfilling His Word. As we have sung here, I wait for your word until you fulfill it completely. Praise and thanks be to the name of the Lord. We have sung wonderful songs. Let us read a scripture before we pray together. I read from 1 Peter Chapter 2, from verse 6. 1 Peter, chapter 2, from verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. Praise and thanks. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise and thanks. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise and thanks be to the name of the Lord. Up to here, this precious word. Let us stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, together we come into your presence. We believe that you are this morning in our midst to help us, to bless us, and to confirm your word on us, to manifest and reveal your presence. Lord, we thank you. We praise your holy name. Come now into your own this morning with all of us who we are gathered here. Lord, we wait for thy word. That's how we sang it. Until you fulfill it completely. Therefore, we are here this morning and we thank you for everything. Bless your people worldwide, all who are joining us online and who hear your word now. We thank you. You are still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for your presence, for your help, and for your blessing, which you prepared for us this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord also for these precious songs which we may sing to the glory of his name. And here we have sung in hymn 583 in the second stanza, in the hour of hardest temptation, when it seems that God does not hear, let us rest on the rock of the word. O only believe, and all will be light. I believe, dear brothers and sisters, that perhaps sometimes it seems as if God does not hear, as if he does not see, as if he doesn't want to know anything about us. But here we have this firm confidence and this encouragement from this songwriter, as he expresses it so wonderfully in this stanza, that we should stand on the rock of the word and trust and believe him. And then the moment will come when everything will become light. And we are certain that it will be so. I would like to read a word of God from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 48, perhaps from the beginning, from verse 1. Isaiah 48, from verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness, for they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is as an iron sinew, and thy brow brass, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol has done them, and my graven image, and my molten image has commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves, and hear. Which among them has declared these things? The Lord has loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off,
nor destroyed from before me. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. We can thank God, dear brothers and sisters, because we know that God is a faithful God. He has spoken to His people from the very beginning and has only ever wanted what is good for His people. He made things known to them in advance and knew what they were all like, made Himself known to them and only wanted them to be helped in all things. I thought about it. He made many things known to them, so that they could not say that someone else had made them known. And He created them wonderfully from their mother's womb and loved them and revealed great things to them and made His promise come true. And I don't know, but brothers and sisters, if we look, He has indeed revealed new things. And just as He has fulfilled the old things that He promised, so also the new things that He has spoken will be fulfilled, regardless of whether we see it straight away or not, whether we think it will happen or not, whether we become patient or impatient. One thing is certain: what the Almighty has spoken will come to pass, in season or out of season. Whenever it may be, God knows when to fulfill it. And so, we are especially grateful because we know that He was the first and that He is also the last and that He has not changed even in our day, but has remained the same. And it may sometimes be, as we have sung in this song, as if we are abandoned, as if we do not see, but we may lean on the rock of the Word. We may call upon His Word, and we may persevere in His Word. And in His time, we will see what He has promised. And for this, we are very glad and very thankful that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But now the Lord God has sent me and His Spirit. Isn't that marvelous? Yes, He took whom He wanted and sent out His servants at all times, and they had to say what He had told them to say. They could not say anything of their own accord, nor did they appear of their own accord, but they went on behalf of their God and told the people what He had to say to them. It is remarkable that He knew all their plans, all their thoughts, and their attitudes in advance. God knows all things well. He also knows our hearts. He also knows our thoughts. Nothing is hidden from Him. Dear brothers and sisters, we are so happy and so grateful that we can approach Him this evening and ask Him to give us the grace and strength to continue to stand firm in this faith, to look to His Word, to persevere, to wait until God Himself fulfills something. And perhaps some things will be fulfilled that are not so visible to our eyes. But I definitely believe that many things will be fulfilled, also with the peoples and nations. Everything has its time and its hour. And that is why we also want to persevere and give him the glory. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. No, the Lord Jesus, he said, in secret have I said nothing. They were all allowed to hear what he had to say. But to whom God did not reveal it, it was a mystery. And it's the same in our day. If the word is not opened to someone and the secrets that God has spoken, they remain hidden to them. But we can thank God that he has given us grace, that we can receive what he has said, and that we can wait for him until he takes us to himself into his glory. And so we are also grateful tonight that we can be here to worship and also to hear what he has to say to us through his precious and holy word. Before Brother Frank continues to minister the word, let us rise to pray together. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this day of grace, which we may experience again, that we may be here to bring you honor and praise, that we may be here to hear your word, to worship you, to sing the precious songs. O Lord, receive the praise from all our hearts and mouths. We are your people, the sheep of your hand. You have loved us. We are pilgrims on this earth. Yes, we have no lasting place here. We must soon leave this place. We are pilgrims, Lord, on this earth. We are expecting something, Lord, and want to be with you in your kingdom, in your glory. We also do not know when we will be called, when you will call us to come. But Lord, we want to be ready. We want to let your word speak to us in this time. We want to receive your word in us, take it to heart, believe it, and offer you honor and praise. We will wait for you, Lord. For we know that you will marvelously bring out all that you have made known. You will not delay, no, Lord. In your time, you will make all things well. Worship and honor to your name. We ask you to bless all, also those who cannot be here tonight. Bless all your people, all your children, near and far. Be with all. Have mercy on all. In the east, in the west, in the north and south, Lord. All who perhaps have to suffer for your name's sake. All who are sick, O God. You know every single heart. You see every single sigh that rises up to you. You also know our hearts. You also know our lives, Lord. You know what we are like. We worship you and ask you to have mercy on us. Also tonight, and help us, Lord, from the riches of your grace, is my prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the grace and privilege of being here again. I was thinking about the fact that we haven't had a Bible study for so long. And it would be nice to hear what questions there are among the people, so that if God helps us and we are able, we can answer them. Sometimes that helps. It is always useful when questions can be answered. I notice it when there are earthly questions in this or that area, and you struggle with them, can't cope with them, and when they are answered, it's as if a burden has been lifted. You get clarity, an overview, insight, and everything that goes with it. My brother-in-law gave me the greetings from Brother Kupka in Poland. I've just read them myself. He sends his warmest greetings to everyone and feels connected to us. We want to thank the Lord that there are still some who have remained standing. That sounds presumptuous, but I simply believe 100% that we are in the right. That is a... I believe that with full conviction, and not for the sake of us, our opinions, our revelations, our insights, just simply for the sake of the Word of God. And the Word of God will remain right for all eternity. And because we believe the original word, we have refrained from ever interpreting anything. Have you noticed over the years that we have not interpreted anything, but have waited until it became clear to us from the word, and we could put our finger on it here and read it from the Holy Scriptures? So we have always known that it is true, not because we said it, not because Brother Branham said it, but because God has already said it in His Word. And that really removes all doubt and every question concerning the spiritual realm must be answered from the Holy Scriptures. You don't need to cross the sea, as it says somewhere, to get the answer. No, the word is near you, in your mouth, and that you speak it. Not our thoughts, but the word is near. It is in our heart and in our mouth. This is very difficult for us, I can tell you. Brother Rus and I, and I'm sure all who come to the front here, we would prefer it if we could just sit there. Is that right, Brother Rus? Yes, he says, Amen. All of us who have to go to the front, I say explicitly, have to go. They don't want to go, but have to go. But we rejoice that we have a share in the Word of God, in the work of God. And when there is a time of drought, that was also in the time of Elijah, and yet we may persevere and know that God has planned the time and hour for everything in advance. And everything that people have announced and will still announce cannot come to fulfillment, because God has already determined everything Himself. And this is where our faith rests. When the first verses were read out, which are a rebuke, I almost said it out loud, Lord, how right are you? You are so right in everything you say. God is right in everything He says. And when He rebukes, it is so soothing. His rebuke is like a balm. Do you feel the same way? When one person rebukes another and tries to put them in their place, it somehow doesn't go down well. We inwardly rebel against it. Is that true? But at the moment, that's what happened to me tonight, for example. I could have said out loud, Lord, you are right. What you said is so true. It's true. It's balm. It feels so good. You can say yes from the bottom of your heart to everything God has said. when we realize that God only rebukes us to make us aware of what He wants to see and have differently, then we recognize His love, His grace, and His mercy in His rebuke. His rebuke is never a blow to throw us to the ground. His rebuke is an outstretched hand to help us and lift us up. And if we see it that way, then we can rejoice that He still rebukes. Perhaps everyone hasn't noticed this so much, but if I remember correctly, the Lord has pronounced serious reproaches and severe rebukes right at the beginning. For He says here, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is His name." We know Jacob wrestled with God. He had an experience with the Lord. His whole life was transformed. His name was Jacob until then. And then he was Israel. And what good did it do all the others who bore the name Israel? They had no encounter with God, did not wrestle with Him, did not win the victory. They bore the name. And bearing the name alone was of no use at all. They should have had the experience that led to this name change. And then it would have been good if we transfer this to ourselves. And God knows this is no rebuke, but it does us no good to bear the name of Christ, to invoke the God of Israel and Jacob, unless we actually agree with that word and with the experiences that men of God and children of God have had. I say it again, Jacob was a deceiver, he was a bad servant, and then he met the Lord. And the Lord had to give him a real push so that he would know that he could not do so strong as he had done, but that the Lord had the last word, and that he would not overcome him, but would be overcome by him. Here it says, "which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel." And then comes the hammer, "but not in truth, nor in righteousness." Beloved, at this place, we are trying to be honest as far as possible without opening the door to unbelief. I think there is a big difference between people sinking into unbelief and abandoning themselves to their own helplessness, or whether they actually realize where they are lacking and what should be there and isn't, and then come to the Lord in faith and prayer. We have not tried to bring about by atmosphere or by anything else what can be only brought about by the Word and the Spirit. But in faith, we may call upon the Lord. And if He were to say to us tonight, you indeed come before my face, you pray, but you do not do it with all truthfulness, you do not do it with all sincerity, you do not do it in all righteousness, then He has the right to do so. For we must also imagine God in His absolute truthfulness and absolute holiness and absolute righteousness. And then confront Him with ourselves. And then what is left? Even our righteousness, which we could all bring with us, is nothing more than a filthy rag before His face. And what then? Then we cast our eyes down to the dust from which we have been taken and say, Lord, what have you seen on us and in us? That you have pardoned us, that you have redeemed us and made us your children. So we see that the Lord allows such love, grace and mercy to prevail in a harsh rebuke. Isn't that marvelous? When the songwriter sings, God is love, that is true. But because He is love, He does not let everything pass, but wants our love for Him to increase. Yes, that we could become perfect in this divine love, and that truthfulness and honesty and righteousness that is so necessary before God would not always continue to wait, but that we could be richly blessed by the Lord with a heart after His own heart. That is indeed what I desire, to have a heart in which He is well pleased. Then it says, for they call themselves of the holy city. You can attach a name to yourself, the most pious there is on earth, and refer to Almighty God. That's all very nice. Why not? But that's not enough. The experience is part of it. We know that if we read other passages, that God has chosen a people, then He has chosen a tribe from this people. We've gone through that here. And then He chose another man from this tribe. That's how it went, from the really big one. It got narrower and narrower. And then we see that even Judah is mentioned here. And it says, from Judah shall come forth unto me He that is Lord in Israel. The promise in the prophet Micah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. What was it? God made history in the plan of salvation. We have also already looked at the text that goes on. God has given prophecies. They were written down. They came forth from His mouth. And everything He said came true. But here is the word. I did them suddenly. There is not much beforehand at all. Suddenly, I have fulfilled them. People have waited for thousands of years, centuries. Times have passed, and all hope has almost vanished with time. Suddenly, God has fulfilled His word. The word suddenly is actually written here. And I showed them. I did them suddenly. And they came to pass. Not so slowly and beautifully, always going on, but suddenly, I have fulfilled them. There are people who can't see it, or grasp it, or place it the way God has done it. They want to do a work of God or a certain thing so slowly before them. But if I do it slowly, then God hasn't done it at all. We really need to understand that the preaching of the Word of God is done to prepare us for what God wants to do, so that He can do it and fulfill His promises. But the doing comes from God, just as much as the Word came from God. Then it says, Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? Oh yes, we want to declare it. We testify with all our heart, but we don't do it. We testify to it. We proclaim it. We preach it. We teach it. But we don't do it. We leave the doing to our God. How marvelous! How marvelous! What is God supposed to do with what we do? Here too, we fall by the wayside and come up short. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? Oh yes, from the heart, from our hearts. We want to declare what God has promised for this time. We can believe with all our hearts that no promise will remain unfulfilled, but that God will fulfill them all. Do you think that we can afford to have even the slightest doubt about God and His Word? That is not possible. If we want to doubt, then we doubt ourselves or whatever, but certainly not God and His Word. Thou hast heard, see all this. We want to do it. We do that every time we come together to contemplate the Word. We come together to consider what the Lord has made known, and we are ready to declare it always. I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. This too has come to pass. Suddenly, there was an hour, a day in my life, when I realized that something was being proclaimed here that I had not heard, that I had not known, that I had not suspected. Suddenly, it was there. Hidden things were made known. They are created now and not from the beginning. There are actually people who have always known everything. If you present something from the Word of God, they already knew it. And where you want to go, they will come back from there. But thank the Lord that they are sincere people, honest people, who can say, I didn't know all these things beforehand. And you can be angry with me and think, that's what he had in mind. Thoughts are free, but sometimes God will judge them. There is a statement where Brother Branham actually says, I didn't know that until yesterday. And what would we say to that? We would say, man of God, haven't you been a prophet since you were a child? Didn't you yourself testify that the first experience you can remember was the following? It was when you were a boy with a white pajama on that reached to the floor, and your uncle came into the living room with snow, and he went or crawled to remove the snow from his boots, and that's when he saw the first vision. The first vision. A prophet of God, born as a prophet, ordained from his mother's womb, And he too said in sincerity and honesty, I did not know until yesterday. When we think of the opening of the seals and then some things that God has revealed, and then there are still people who have always known everything. But let me be clear now, they still don't know it today. People who have already known everything and who have already seen everything correctly and who have always known what Paul said, they still don't know today what Paul or Peter or men of God have said. They only think they do, but that is not the case. Just like people here invoked the name of Jacob, the God of Israel, Jerusalem, everything, but truth and honesty and righteousness were not there. No, certainly not. We have done some things not right, but in this we can stand our ground before God. We are honest enough to say we didn't know that. We acknowledge it and are grateful that God has given us clarity. And how often have we accused other denominations of taking old leaven with them from generation to generation? And we are so short-sighted that we don't even see what we have dragged over with us, and we cherish it just like we do with leaven. You can take it in both hands and play with it back and forth and then put it down again. But it puffs up more and more, and it's best to put it out. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, put out the old leaven, that ye become a new lump of unleavened bread, of sincerity and truth. We always agree with things that do not concern us. They can be tidied up, we don't need them anymore. But if there are things that we somehow hold on to, then we don't want to let them go. We let everything else go, because it means nothing to us. But the very things we don't want to let go, and if it doesn't fit into the plan of God and the Word of God, then it should be taken away from us. Here it says, yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time thine ear was not opened, nothing, neither heard, nor knew, nor understood, nor ear opened. God does everything at the right time. Imagine if the message that the man of God brought for this church age had been brought in the days of Luther. Unthinkable, impossible. But it would be just as impossible if that message were brought today. Look at the divine sequence, the divine order, how step by step, from light to light, and from clarity to clarity, the divine way looks with the church. Everyone can confidently say amen to that, because it is certainly true. No, you have neither heard, nor known it, nor has your ear been open to it before. How fondly we think of the appearance of the Lord in the cloud on the 28th of February, 1963, when Brother Branham was told to return to Jeffersonville because the time of the opening of the seven seals had come. Before that, he waited. He knew something was coming. He didn't know how. He didn't know what. He couldn't say either, I somehow already suspected all this. No, he had to say, imagine, I preached about this years ago and read up on it in the notes. And now, everything is completely different from what I preached back then. So, he too only knew what God had revealed to him and has brought it through his ministry accordingly over the years. But we believe with all our hearts that nothing can follow his ministry, simply because it is written that in those days the mystery of God will be finished, as he revealed it to his servants the prophets, not to the preachers and not to the evangelists, but to his servants the prophets. And that is the end of it. If someone comes today with a new revelation, he must first prove that he is a prophet, and that will be very difficult. He will be able to fool some people, but he will certainly not succeed. It goes on to say here, "For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb." There we have it again. God announces, says what is to happen, how it will happen. And then the mirror is held up to us again from his point of view, into which we look fully. This is how we are, as he has described it here, a transgressor from the womb. And here a word from the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1 comes to mind. He says there, "When it pleased him who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me, both a transgressor from the womb, having his own ways, his own thoughts, his own works, sitting at the feet of a Gamaliel, and suddenly the same man says," I have to read it out, so that everyone knows that it is written. But I hope that we all know the Bible that well. It says in Galatians 1:15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. What was it? Human beings, which we all are, transgressors from our mother's womb, abandoned to death, going our own way, and suddenly the grace of God comes into our lives, and the former is declared invalid, and the divine is declared valid. When we came into this world, God already destined us, yes, before the foundation of the world, to be his property. An unbeliever will say, "Listen, that's a contradiction." No, not at all. God did that. Both are true, but the second cancels out the first, and then the first no longer applies, but the second does. It goes on to say, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger." We all know that. "And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off." If God wanted to repay us as we deserve, none of us would lift up his head, let alone open his mouth. We would all become more silent before his face and call upon his name in reverence. "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have purified thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. twice in succession. Not that anyone will say, yes, now God has purified me. I have overcome all the difficult trials. Now I am at His disposal. Now I can do this and that. God has never looked for people like that, and He has very little use for them. He said very clearly, He has refined in the furnace, but not found as silver, let alone as gold, and purified in the furnace of affliction. And then, nevertheless, for mine own sake will I do it. Not for your sake, not because you fasted and prayed, not because you had to go through trials, not because you went through affliction, not because you had to endure hardship. When God does something, He does it for the sake of His name, for the sake of His word, so that no one may glory before Him. It continues here, for how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Our God alone deserves the glory by all those who have recognized that they are nothing and that He is everything. If He really is everything, and we can say that with conviction, if He is everything, then what are you and what am I? If He is everything, what are we? What are we then? Then we are nothing. But a nothing out of which He can make something to the praise of His glorious grace. And that is what we come together for, so that He can do it in us through His Word and His Spirit. He is the first, as we read here, and He is the last. And He says, mine hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Is not this a marvelous word? When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Not explain, interpret, telling what comes next, but all ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Hear what God's Word says. And if we succeed in this, we are helped. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. I want to be among those who are gathered before His face. I want to stand before Him. As I am, so I come to Him. But I will not stay like this. That's not how I stay. There is no one who comes into the presence of God, who really comes, who remains as he is. We see it here with Jacob, and we see it in everyone else. Those who come into the presence of God and really experienced Him, He went home differently than He came. And when we come under the sound of the Word of God to meet the Lord, we must let the Word and the Spirit work. Assemble yourselves and hear. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Before whom? For what? They stand before the Lord. They gather before Him. Not, as I said, to hear an interpretation, but before the Lord, so that He can speak to us through His Word. Oh, how marvelous is all that He has said. how deep and precious are the thoughts of God. Which among them has declared these things? No one. Thank you very much. None. So far, nothing has come to pass of all those who have prophesied. And this is the proof that they have not gathered before the face of God to hear Him, to receive His word, but they are on their way to speak and do not even know that they are talking past God. I have spoken, yea, I have called Him, I have brought Him, and He shall make His way prosperous. Come ye near unto Me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. Whenever the things that have been promised are fulfilled, the Lord is always present, and His people can experience that He keeps all His promises. This is where our faith rests. This is what sets us apart from everyone else. On Sunday morning, a young man from the Baptist Church was here, and he had read the tract. And afterwards he said to my son, "It's not as big a difference as I actually expected." On the one hand, I was a little taken aback, because if our church services are no different from those of the denominations, so I'm smiling at the moment, but with a deep pain, then something is wrong. On the other hand, I say to him, it's not the services or the type of service. It's what God has done in these days. We could put on church services with tambourine and everything that went with it. And I don't know. But if anybody got the same spirit that these people have, they would do the same thing, and that actually exists, believe it or not, everywhere, that people get the same spirit that the person in front has and who introduces a thing. But what does that have to do with the Spirit of God? I think about that sometimes too. Brother Branham stepped in front of the microphone. He didn't run back and forth, but the words were powerful. He did not preach like the scribes, but with divine authority. But the divine authority was not with human gestures. It was not a performance, not a show. Rather, divine authority consisted in the fact that God could speak. He could speak His word to people through anointed lips, and therein lay divine authority. And that is where divine authority still lies today. Not that I come and say, the Lord has anointed me, I am coming now to bring you this and that. No, the matter will always come from God and lead us back to God. And yet, we wish with all our hearts that the church services would become more lively, that we would all be shaken awake and say, Lord, we are so ungrateful. I include myself in this without any doubt and without holding back. I too am subject to some fluctuations of the mind, but that doesn't change the certainty I have in my heart about God and His Word, about salvation, redemption, and grace. How could what I feel change what God has done in the slightest? I believe that what God has done is far more powerful than the feelings I may have in a certain moment. No, it stays that way. Our God has taken us into His eternal plan, which He is bringing to fulfillment and completion in our day. And we believe with full conviction, based on the Word of God, that we have gathered before His holy face, and we do not refer to Jacob or to just any prophet, but to the Lord, who spoke through the prophets, and thank Him for His Word, which has become a living and precious revelation to us. What can we say about this? Only one thing. May the Lord give us thankful hearts by grace. And as Brother Rus probably expressed, that we persevere in patience until the Lord does what He has promised. All those who are patient, but in faith, that is very, very important, to be patient, but not in indifference, but in faith that the Lord will fulfill His word. Finally, we are told, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord has redeemed His servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when He had led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. It was to reach the ends of the earth. Utter it, even to the end of the earth. Our Lord said, therefore go into all the world. And He said, I will be with you, even unto the end of the world. Proclaim, the Lord has redeemed His servant Jacob. Cry out, the Lord has redeemed His people, and sing, redeemed am I may well boast. Proclaim it to the ends of the earth, make it known, for God has done it. Should we be ashamed of it? He has done it. We are grateful for that. He split the rock and quenched the thirst. And the rock did not remain in one place. If you want to look it up, there were exactly 40 stations that the people of Israel made in the 40 years. Quite strange. I have highlighted them all in red. And the Lord God laid them in the pillar of fire. And at the same time, He was the rock that accompanied them, from which the water gushed forth. For He is the rock, it is written, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, Christ was the rock that accompanied them and from which they drank. And then people don't understand the Godhead, neither do I, but I believe in my Lord, who has revealed Himself in such majesty that all wise men are confounded and all fools are made wise. Yes, our God is simply above all our thinking. There he is in the pillar of fire, as the great I am, as the Lord, in the fire, in the cloud, by day and by night, speaking with Moses, and all the people of Israel see the cloud, and there he accompanies them as a rock, out of which comes plenty of water during the 40 years in the desert. And you have to have seen the desert once to know what that means. There is no life for miles around, nothing but sand, rock and desert. Not a speck of green to be seen. Anyone who has seen this with their own eyes is shocked. And I would like to know how many of all the believers, even on our last journey or every journey, did not think to themselves almost every day, Lord, is this supposed to be the land that is glorious and overflowing with milk and honey? Well, you are all more honest. You don't say it like that, but I do. I've thought it myself a few times, even now on the last round trip, O Lord. What have you seen here in this land? What made you bring your people here? And believe me, you all know, I've been to 83 countries, but there is no land so hopeless, so desolate, so barren as the land of Israel. There is no other land on earth, none, that could be compared to it. And yet, God will make a paradise out of it. I also found the scripture somewhere on our tour in Israel. I really wanted to know whether it was originally like this or whether it has become what it is today. And I found it. God helps me when it comes to His Word, every time. I didn't have to search for long. I read it in one of the three wonderful prophets. To summarize, let's call it out to all of us tonight. The Lord doesn't just want that we refer to the God of Jacob. He wants us to have an experience like He did. He not only wants us to refer to Christ, but to have our experience with Him. And we want to take everything we have heard to heart and then thank our Lord for being so faithful, so gracious, so merciful to us, and for letting us know and receive and understand things from His Word that we did not know or hear before. There is one word here that I wanted to emphasize. Even before the day when thou heardest them not, God always has a today for everything. A today. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Before today, you knew nothing about it. Wait and see whether God will not have some surprises for us, and whether we will not be able to read the same word at some point and say, you see, we suspected that something else was coming, but we didn't know how or when, but we knew it would come. And then we will rejoice and praise the name of the Lord our God and glorify Him and give Him alone the honor from our hearts. Amen.